Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All people at home!
What's up with that?
You ready?
The drugs from my generation. And it's a sin. The gods, the beasts, the fraud, the messing with me. Come on, come on, come on.
Welcome to the Uso Penitentiary.
Let's get it out.
Dumb.
Bro.
The new day!
Let me talk to you!
Baby!
If I can be serious for a minute.
For the love of God, stay away from the Dippin' Dots!
Move to the music, play that music. Move it to the music, yeah.
Acknowledge me.
Gentlemen, welcome back to the DWI podcast. My name is PC Tunney. I am the artist formerly known as Pizza Funny and your podcast Jedi. I am joined, as always, by the other half of the world's greatest tag team never. He is a cat lover. It's DPP.
I worked out. Came down right at the right time.
He's holding a cat, everybody. Yes, indeed he is. And joining us as well this week, the third member of the Triumvirate Trifecta of Triangular Podcasting. He is oh so velvety when he speaks. It's Mr. Velvet Pipes, Christopher Platt.
Greetings and salutations, and please forgive me, ladies and gentlemen, if I'm talking while I'm eating all my muffins, talking my shit. It just seems like that kind of week, right?
You're eating your muffins?
Sure.
Tunney, you consider yourself a journalist?
No.
Are you friends with formerly known as Chairshot Steven?
I am definitely not friends with that guy. No, I am not. Oh. You mean fuckboy?
Oh, we have something in common. I'm just saying, if you fancy yourself a journalist in this wrestling game, you might want to disclose who you're friends with.
Hey, peace, love, and copyright, brother. All right, and rounding out the quintessential quartet of quadrangular podcasting, it is the trivia trickster himself, dressed today in a beautiful creamsicle jersey to support his Tampa Bay Buccaneers this weekend. It's AJ Baleza.
Better beat them damn fucking cowgirls. Let's go.
I don't know. I don't have you winning that game. Sorry. Yeah.
If it happens, right. It happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Jersey?
We're still winning the fucking South. No,
coming in
is Steve Young.
Dude, I wish it was a Steve Young jersey. You know how many times I've heard that just walking out in public? I'm like, no, it's a fucking Jameis Winston jersey.
And coming in at second this week is Al Del Greco. I can't go on. You remember those commercials?
Sad day.
No, shout out to Al Del Greco though. What's the last time he got referenced on anything? Even in his own household.
Probably 40 years, maybe?
I like to reference him a lot. Nike commercials he did, the top five NFL players of the week every week, he was number one. And then one week, they're like going strong. They're like, and at number two, Al Del Greco. I can't go on.
I don't even remember him on Tampa Bay. Didn't he play for the Oilers?
He didn't play for Tampa Bay. I think Dan was just being.
No, I don't think he played for it either.
It was a low number, and Al Del Greco's just the greatest kicker ever. So you know,
I don't. All right. Well, you know what?
Top 100
we did it last week. This is
greatest kickers.
This is for.
I'm not doing top 100 kickers. I will.
Yeah, all time.
Our resignation right now.
Kickers and punters. There we go. All right. So the Colts already immediately got it. Number one, Adam Vinatieri. Number two, Pat McAfee.
No, Reggie Roby. Fuck out of here.
There we go.
Spell Vanderjack. Suckmyass. All right. This week, just for Ray, we're going to let everybody know what's happening on the 340th edition of the podcast known as DWI.
Well, we're waiting.
Well, it's the big show.
And just for Ray, it's the big show.
That cheat on her. All right, we're going to go over some things that happened. We're going to go over some things that happened in Cardiff. I think these guys probably have some comments about the dumpster fire known as AEW. We will have trivia after deliberation. And, of course, Seinfeld will close the show. Season 3, Episode 12, The Red Dot, which is... It's near the top for me and one of the best episodes of... So I'd say top 10%. So we will get there. All right. Why don't we take a commercial break? Let's do that. And then someone can tell Dan to ring the bell when we get back, okay? DWI Podcast, Chairshot Radio Network. Part of the chairshot.com, where we encourage you to always use your head.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And don't forget to head on over to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot.
Always use your head.
AJ gives me the hand signals. I let me be the one to tell DP to ring the bell, and then he forgets to do it.
DPP!
Ring the bell.
How did you guys enjoy Saturday afternoon pay-per-view from Cardiff? What was your enjoyment factor? What'd you do? How'd it go?
I enjoyed it at the wrong PM AM. I watched it 12 hours later.
You did.
Yeah. I was drinking beer and watching it, and thoroughly enjoyed it, actually, from everything that I saw.
What happened, Dan? The Cheese Curd Festival was in town or some shit?
That's kind of funny. There probably was one.
Come on, man. Pop, that was funny. Come on, man. You gotta give it to me.
We live in the same town now, asshole.
You didn't get an invite.
So you just skipped the Cheese Curd Festival this year, huh?
There's no need for a festival when they're available everywhere all the time. It's like one big cheese curd festival. Welcome to Wisconsin.
I was about to say, what's wrong, man? Your lactose wasn't lactating? I'm sure there's a correlation, by the way.
Very tolerant. Very tolerant of the lactose.
No, I loved whatever the hell this shit was called, man. I had my beer. I had my pizza. I had my baby. We were hanging out like wet clothes, man. It was a good time.
I had my beer, my pizza, and my baby. Why does it sound like the intro to a country song?
Yeah, I got my beer, my pizza, and my baby.
Drinking my pizza.
They love me, maybe. But I wanna make one thing clear. If my baby left, I still got Bear.
That right there just hit the Country Music Awards right there.
It must perfect. Have when they sang that
I
one.
Am officially the only person allowed to sing country music on this very show from here on forward.
Oh, shut up, man. Y'all love David Allen Poe or Coe or whatever the fuck his name is.
Exactly.
I know exactly what album you're talking
I also,
about.
Yeah. I also, Chris, I'm also a big fan of Edgar Allan Cole.
No, real spit.
Quote the Raven. I got friends in low places. No, wait, that's not
we
it.
We were talking what they before we started recording. And Tutty, I can't remember if it was Tutty or Dan. I think it was Tutty. He was like, oh, yeah, I really love David Allen Coe. I said, oh, really now?
I said I like the one song.
I know what song you like.
Yeah, she said, I will have the kids, and she was moving out.
No. What's the song? Darling.
You don't have to call me darling. You never even called me by my name.
That's the only one, asshole. Shut up.
Google it.
No. Oh, don't. Google.
All right, guys. No. Let's talk about wrestling. Come on. Honestly, match of the year candidate, right? Gunther and Sheamus. Guys. That was freaking phenomenal.
I was going to say that
good,
match.
Good old,
was fantastic. Like, I especially loved the intro when he came out and introduced the rest of him, you know. Brought back, what's his name? Giovanni.
Maybe the Eichner.
Yeah, the rest of them.
BC, yeah.
And reintroduced Giovanni back as Imperium was kind of cool. I really like that. I like this whole setup. I like the standoff in the ring while the other guys are brawling. And that was just a fight and a half. That was just awesome to watch him just slug it out. It was just a different type of match to see, which was perfect. You know, it's what I was talking about, you know, you can get different types of matches now and have a cruiserweight match. And then you have this kind of match after that, where it's just this slugfest, which was just ridiculous to watch.
Big boys fucking each other up.
Oh, go ahead. Ring the bell for yourself though, Dan, before AJ continues. Cause the variety that you brought up, that's really what wrestling should be. It's more like the circus. It's great. More variety. Yeah. Go ahead, Adam. I apologize.
No, you're good, Chris, because it should be that way where it's like, yeah, there's going to be something for somebody. You just got to make sure that you, like, punch it home. And I do believe on the dirtiest of dirty sheets, everyone's favorite wrestling uncle actually gave it 5 stars. He actually gave a WWE match 5 stars for once in a while. But no, that was such a beautiful fight, evening the odds with Eichner, because I'm not going to call him Giovanni Vannici, coming in and evening the odds against Sheamus. Butch
and Holland.
And Holland, yeah. Butch. But no, that was a nice big boy match. I appreciated the fuck out of that.
Honestly, I wish that's where the evolution of wrestling would have went. You know, what we saw with Gunther, formerly Walter, and Sheamus, as opposed to the hippy dippy flippy no selling bullshit, like Dan was saying earlier, man, that's cool for a match here and there, but that can't be everything up and down the card. You know what I mean? It's too hard to suspend disbelief. But yeah, that match was an absolute banger, and I mean that quite literally because they beat the holy hell out of each other.
Does Gunther add his name to the extremely short list of people that could possibly end Roman's reign?
Yeah, I think that's killed the cross, but yeah. Yeah, well, he's got to be on the list, right?
You think Karrion Kross has a chance in fucking blue hell of beating Roman Reigns for the undisputed WWE championship?
Probably not.
I would bet everything that I fucking have, and if I win, all you have to do is give me a donut. Karrion Kross will not be the motherfucker taking the belt from Roman Reigns, period. End of story. Peace. Maybe one of them, but not both of them. I'm not making that bet, but that's how strongly I feel.
PC Tunney literally just said betting dollars to donuts.
Yeah, he did.
Pop.
Well done.
That's how I feel. Here's my list. It's Cody. It's The Rock. And it's Gunther. Seth Rollins. That's it. That's all I got on that list.
Anybody else would be amazing?
I mean, tell me. I mean, I'm not the end all be all telling you I'm right and you're fucking wrong. But that's how I feel about Karrion Kross, Chris. Who do you have any of those four people not on your list? And who else is on that list? And then we'll go to AJ.
Number one, The Rock is definitely not on that list because The Rock is 50 years old. If we're blessed enough to get him in another match, it doesn't need the title. The Rock transcends the title. So you might as well put the titles in another match.
That's an argument
that
we had another day down the road.
Okay, cool.
Is that belt necessary? That's a great point.
Yeah. Bron Breakker, he's got to be on that list. And Killian Cross, like Triple H sees money in this guy. Like that dude is fucking money, man. That dude is money.
We're going to manage him down to the ring. Here comes Careless LaVert with Killian Cross.
That was great. I don't know, man. His face looks like he don't really like types of people that Careless LaVert are. I'm not going to go all the way there, but
I totally got it.
But there's clearly money in that guy and the presentation and everything that he does in the ring, man. So, yeah, I could see a scenario where Killian Cross ends up being the title. But, yeah, and Bron Breakker. So I'd say Bron Breakker, Cody, Killian Cross. That's the list.
AJ?
I love how Platt keeps saying Killian Cross instead of... He's mixing Killer Cross and Karrion Cross together.
Don't give me that. Wrong on purpose.
But I don't have Cross on my list. I have Braun on my list. Cross Breakker.
Him. Cross him off, eh?
I crossed him off. It's TikTok. TikTok, not on my list.
You have Braun on your list?
I have Bron Breakker on my list.
Bron Breakker?
I have Gunther, and I have Cody. Cody being, like, the number one person to take it off of him.
Is it Bron Breakker or Bron Breakker?
I don't fucking know. It's the Steiner.
It's B-R-O-N, no W. It's Bron.
Bron.
Like LeBron.
I'm pretty sure they wouldn't want anybody that's announcing him to the ring to call him Bron. Consider.
Well,
I'm just saying.
Brings
up a curious question.
No, you make a point.
Is Vince gonna come back to change his name when he comes up to the roster? Because they already have a Braun.
Well, who was
you can have a Braun and a Braun.
Kevin Owens. Yes.
Hey,
Theory, you found your first name. I can call you Austin again.
Theory found his first name. Who else found their first name? There's a couple of people that actually have first names again.
Matt Riddle again.
And
Seth Rollins changed his name, though. Now he's just going to go by Freakin'. It's very weird. Very weird. We're going the wrong way with things.
There's another person, though. That was funny. But there's another person that also has their first name again.
Oh, Ciampa. Tommaso Ciampa.
Tommaso has Tommaso back.
Can we get Big E Langston back in this Bella Farm? That's a hard ass name,
back
man.
In the first
that's cool as shit. Touche.
Yeah,
that'd be nice.
That's
fair. But yes, that would be nice.
Knowing Triple H, he might actually call Breakker Rex Steiner. He might actually do that.
He might change his name.
Yeah,
to
you can't trademark his real name though, man.
But it's not his real name. That's just his last name.
Yeah. That's his real last name. So if he leaves, he can still be Rex Steiner.
Here's what they should change his name to. And now this will be the end of this conversation. We can move on to the next topic. They should change his name to Walter. What else? How did you guys like the fact that they had to sing karaoke after the final match to make sure there weren't riots in Cardiff?
I heard that was a mistake, and they were supposed to have cut the feed, but they let it run for some reason. Somebody made a mistake. Somebody fucked up. But they were supposed to cut the feed, and that was supposed to just show that audience out there.
Because McIntyre even said, I don't even know if we're on the air anymore or not, right? So that kind of gave that one away, and that didn't seem like he was. But I enjoyed it. I mean, the people came. But the one thing I threw out at Dan, and he agreed with me 100%, is, and obviously if it wasn't supposed to happen, then that wasn't it. But they could have done it and planned it and had Tyson Fury turn on McIntyre during karaoke to set up a WrestleMania match.
Well, that's another reason why I think that wasn't supposed to air, because that's what I was thinking the entire time, that Tyson Fury was going to end up knocking his ass out like he did AJ Blaz, a.k.a. Theory, and that never happened. So that's another reason that I give credence to somebody fucked up and that wasn't supposed to air.
I'm going to have to, like, cut my fucking hair or something, I swear to God.
You're going to do something because Platt said something? Man, you're going to be doing shit nonstop. He's just going to keep fucking with you.
Hey, man, I'm like E.F. Hutton, baby. When I talk, motherfuckers listen. Okay?
Huh?
Somebody will get that. Google it, motherfucker. Shit. Google it, man. Read a book sometime, goddammit. Shit.
There are so many things from Clash of the Castle that I really liked that, I mean, we all know about the one dude that had the shirt. We're not going to discuss it further than the shirt.
I missed it.
No. I got to chide PC Tutty. I was tardy to the party, so I couldn't respond to it. Fuck you, but it was hilarious. And you said,
yeah.
What did it say? That little insider baseball, but that shit was
Chris
funny,
Benoit
man.
Is a bad dad.
Better
dad than Chris Benoit.
Then edit.
He said, I'm a better dad than Chris Benoit, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And I was like, who sent that? You did, AJ?
Someone sent it. I don't.
ASAP sent it.
And I'm like, man, you. Yeah, you should have photoshopped that to stay flat. I would have lost my shit.
Yeah. Fuck you, but that shit was funny, though. That was funny.
Yeah,
though.
But you know the one thing that I loved that I know for a fact that Ray had to have a touch in it is how Dominic turned on Edge and Ray? Because that clothesline was identical to Eddie doing a clothesline onto Ray turning heel. And that was picture-perfect one-to-one. There are videos, if you want to go look it up on social media, where it's the exact same short arm lariat to knock out Ray and then just walking off.
I believe I called that. Thank you.
We all called that, and then
we all knew that was going to happen.
And then she came out on Raw and told Ray, I made a man out of your son. So good for Dominic.
Folks, we all knew it, but I'm the only one who said it last week. If you want to go back and listen to the 339th edition of the DWI podcast and told you that he was going to join Judgment Day as well. So yes.
That's you did say that too.
Thank you.
Also shout out before we go back to Platt. Shout out to the entire crowd on that Monday Night Raw chanting Eddie's son.
That was fun.
During that entire segment in the beginning of the show.
That was fun.
I swear that's why he grew the mullet out, to kind of steer into that skid. Because why else would you grow out a mullet in 2022 and you're 25 years old?
Chris, we have in our 40s, we have no idea what the fuck we're talking about.
How many mullets do you see running around, Tony?
I don't know, but when we were in high school, we used to play a game that if we were all hanging out somewhere and we saw a mullet, the last person to say mullet when they seen the mullet would have to touch the mullet.
I mean, to be fair, man, that's more of a y'all community thing, and I see some weird-ass shit from these kids in my community.
I was about to say,
as far as I know, mullets might be back. I don't know. You have a point, man. You have a
Platt,
point.
Something tells me if you go about 3 hours south.
Let me translate. It's y'all weird-ass white motherfuckers with the mullets.
Well, I mean, I don't even know. And what do they call them?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
They're called shags. They're not even called mullets in my community, man. If you want to see what a shag is, go Google Bobby Brown in like 1985. But Seth freaking Rollins and Riddle, they had a damn good match. I'm happy that feud is continuing. The main event. There were a few times that my booty hole puckered a little bit, thinking that Drew was gonna go over. There were like
Roman was gonna lose. I'm like, oh yeah, that was it, wasn't it? You dumb motherfuckers!
What the fuck did you say? Your booty hole puckered?
Yeah, because I was so adamant that Roman wasn't going to lose, and I was going to look like a dick if he did. You know what I mean? But Roman is great at that. Roman is probably the master at the 2.99 kickout. Like, how many matches have we seen with Roman? Even when the crowd wasn't fucking with him, man, how many matches have we seen with him where you thought that was it, and he kicked out literally at the very last millisecond? He's just really good at that.
Well, seeing as he's been champ for 730 plus days, and I predicted this 900 fucking days ago, and we're not even 239 yet. There was zero puckerment in my butterment.
Well, good for you, sir.
You need some ointment? something to help move it along?
Who told you to put the balm on? Did I tell you to put the balm on? Did the doctor tell you to put the balm on? No one knows what a balm does.
We're not there yet, Jackie.
What else happened on this show? The six-woman tag at the beginning, that was pretty cool. Yeah, the Judgment Day, Ray and Edge thing, that was good. Am I missing anything?
Liv and Shayna. Survived again. That was the other one you haven't touched on.
Yeah.
That was uneventful.
It was so funny because, like, 10 seconds into the match, Shayna's kicking out of Liv's finisher, and I'm like, well, now what is she going to do, you know?
Yeah,
I mean it was a
roll up.
Yeah, I mean we also completely glossed over the fact with that Reigns match that let's see, Jimmy and Jay weren't allowed into Cardiff.
Oh yes, we got to talk about.
Oh man, you know,
DP.
How many months?
Go ahead.
How many goddamn months was I calling for that shit, and then I finally gave up on it, and here he shows up finally. God damn it!
It's because he gave wrestling, up, man.
God,
that's pro wrestling.
It.
And
I
love
ready.
You know, once they, you know, honestly, though, you could have, when you think about it, they had advertised Heyman to be there. Once he comes out without Heyman, you're like, something's
up.
That
yeah.
should have set the bells off. But it didn't for me either. Granted, I had started drinking right when the show started. So I was 3.5 hours in. So I was just enjoying the shit out of it.
As soon as I saw that Claymore out of Drew, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Isn't there another Uso?
Something's got to happen, right?
Referee.
In the back of my mind, I thought about it. But honestly, I thought the more likely scenario was that either Tyson Fury or Killian Cross was going to get involved into the festivities.
I mean, the Austin Theory could have been a way to schmoz the match, too, on Drew. Like, give him a dirty, like, not be clean. Like, where the ref, like, the refs are distracted, and Roman used the briefcase not only to knock out Theory, but McIntyre, and then he gets the pin that way. Like, there's a lot of different things you could have done there, right? But I, in the end, what do you guys expect now from Sokoa, and how does he, what's going to, I mean, I love the dynamic right now that Sami Zayn and Jimmy Uso are, like, almost best friends, and Jey Uso can't stand Sami Zayn. Like, this is all-time classic fucking shit right here. This is honestly some of the best backstage storyline stuff ever, and Sami Zayn is very quietly moving up the ranks on the all-time list for at least me, PC Tunney, because that guy is so fucking underrated. That guy is so fucking valuable. Are you kidding me? You want to know why Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn were never fucking going anywhere, you dumb AEW douchebags? Is because why would you fucking leave WWE when you're making all that fucking money with all that fucking exposure and you're involved in every single good storyline? Those two are always on TV. Hashtag use your head.
Isn't it going to be great when Solo Sikoa nudges Sami Zayn out of there because the real brother's actually there now and Sami Zayn gets pushed out? Kevin Owens says, I told you so. And KO and Sami Zayn take the tag titles off the Usos at WrestleMania. Holy shit. What a baby face pop
DP
that's going to be.
Prediction.
Oh my God.
DP yeah.
Making a prediction.
Ring the bell for yourself because you literally took the words out of my mouth. Literally, nice. That's what I was going to say because that's where they're going. They're going to, you know, because Sammy's going to be looking at Sokoa like, hey, what the fuck, G? Like, bro, I'm right here. And yeah. It's ultimately going to lead to KO and Sami reuniting and taking the titles off the Usos. So, yeah. Nice. But, it's been excellent storytelling so far. And Sami Zayn, goddamn. Did y'all see the SmackDown a few weeks ago where he broke Roman and Jay, even though Jay is supposed to hate his guts and he couldn't help but...
Dance.
To...
Yep. Yeah. I go out and I do my dance, you know?
Well, the better one was they couldn't... I mean, they were losing it in the ring introducing Roman for the celebration when fucking Sammy's in there. He's just like, yee, yay, yes sir. I'm like, whoa, slow down, man, what the fuck. It's awesome, it's amazing. I
also
entertained than I am.
I don't know if anyone else has seen it, but the Photoshop picture of, like, everyone knows the picture of the twins, Jimmy and Jay, with fucking Roman. Someone Photoshopped a picture of a young Sami Zayn in there, too. Like, yeah, he was always part of the bloodline. Come on.
Do you guys see, I mean, first I'd like to see Sami Zayn treat Sokoa like a rookie. Have him, like, you know, go get donuts or, you know, carry bags or something. But what about, like, oh, man. I could see Roman, like, continue to favor Sami, though. Like, even more so. Like, Sami becomes number two, even over Jay and Jimmy. And then all of a sudden, that's where your turn could happen. I don't know. It's so interesting. I'm just in love with the whole storyline right now.
And shout out to the wise man who's still selling that F5 through the table. That's good shit. That's such good shit. Even though he's doing voiceovers and shit, but that's neither here nor there.
That's such good shit.
I think you got enough surrounded Roman right now that you can give him a little vacation before we get to Survivor Series.
Well, that's probably what's going to happen, man. He's probably going to be very sporadic on television until we get to Survivor Series.
Sure. Who? So, you know, you got Extreme Rules in the second weekend of October, I believe it is. And then nothing till then just Survivor Series. That's it for the rest of the year till January 1st. There's only two pay-per-views between now and New Year's Day.
Sweet. That sounds wonderful.
What?
I was about to say, hold on. Wait, they got rid of TLC?
There's nothing in December. There's nothing in October.
There wasn't anything in December last year. Extreme Rules is in October.
Okay. But there's nothing in September or December, huh?
We just had a pay-per-view last weekend. It was September.
Hold on. I have to finish my giant glass of whiskey due to the fact that
I was thinking it's the end of August, man. Yeah, I thought it was the end of August, man. I'm tripping.
Tunney is correct. Extreme Rules, October 8th, and then Survivor Series, November 26th, and then that's it.
If you want to know if I'm right or wrong, ask Dan. Dan's pretty damn sure when I'm saying something that I know is a fact, or I'm just bullshitting off my fucking ass.
No, I just want an excuse to drink the rest of my whiskey.
Now I know I'm having a loving influence on you after all these years.
Really,
what else you guys got?
Do you know who his brother is?
What about how do you feel about the women's tag team division right now? Are we gonna get Sasha and Naomi back here at some point? Do you like the fact that Raquel and Aaliyah are the champions? I could totally see them taking those belts over Io and Kai from Damage Control, which I like the name. I like the theme that they have right now. I'd like to get to know Bayley better as well on a personal level, but I think it was good for the division for Aaliyah and Raquel to take, to take those titles. Where do you guys see that division going right now? Because I think that's a commodity that they could use to benefit their popularity, their ratings, even more so than they do. I think it's an underutilized division.
I think there is no division, and it's bullshit, and they should have taken the opportunity to get rid of the titles altogether. Now, it will be a great way to reintroduce Sasha and Naomi when they eventually and inevitably come back. But other than that, nobody's cultivating women's tag teams. Like, that's just not what this is. It's just a belt for having the sake of belts, and it's too much.
I'm perfectly fine with a women's tag team division, but you need to have it so it's all three brands. So if you just mixed NXT and the WWE, that would make things so much goddamn easier. It's kind of like, and yeah, this is the Blaz and me kicking in. It's kind of like Impact, where they have the Knockouts tag titles. You don't really have that many tag teams for the tag titles. Right now it's on a mix, like a jumbled up, thrown together, like, heel fucking tag team with Chelsea Green and Deonna Purrazzo at the moment.
Listen,
have a thrown together Aaliyah and Raquel Gonzalez.
Listen, I'm not saying the division doesn't need work. I'm just saying it's underutilized. And when you have a specific division, considering it the entire women's division with no secondary title, what better way than to build storylines and feuds with a tag team division? It's really simple. I mean, that's my opinion on it. What do you think, Dan?
Oh, you, I'm fine if they want to have a tag, but like, yeah, like Chris said too, you like, there right now there isn't really a division, so you have to promote the division. You have to get some teams together and do it, you know. And if they want to push for it and they make an effort to do it, it's, I think it could be perfect because, yeah, they don't have secondary titles, and right now they don't do enough with the women to have a Raw champion, a SmackDown champion, tag team champions, and then NXT. As much as I would love to have the tag titles across all three brands, like AJ said, you know, they don't promote NXT on the same level right now. So I don't, like, I don't know if you can do that other than just, you know, having the, you know, they have a couple wrestlers, you know, come down to NXT and wrestle some matches, but I don't know if you can cross the titles at this point, you know, with the way you're promoting NXT versus the other two brands. So it makes it a little difficult. You're, you know, limited to that, but they definitely don't have to add any more. But yeah, promote it. Let's get some tag teams. Let's actually do it and make an effort to do it then. And then you're good to go. I think the opportunity is there, but ever since they introduced them, they have not made any effort. So maybe that'll change with Triple H. I don't know.
Chris, you were going to say something, weren't you?
No, I agree with Dan. I mean, well, okay, I'm going to say this, and it's probably going to give me some heat in the IWC. How many credible women do they really have? Like, they've got a top tier of women, and then you got the also-rans underneath, and then everybody else is just there just because they feel like you have to have women on the show or else you're going to get heat from people. You know what I mean? There's not that many great women's wrestlers on the roster. Like, WWE clearly is the class of women's wrestling. And for a long time, that used to be Impact, just to pop Adam there. But right now, like, WWE is head and shoulders over everybody right now. And
what
you've got,
what
you,
period
you
of time
a,
was that? What period of time was that when Impact was number one in women's wrestling? What period was roster-wise? Tell me what years that was. Tell me.
What was it? We'll say what? 06
when's the last?
2011, 2012?
I wouldn't even say that. I would say like 2009 to like 2013.
When did Gail Kim and Awesome Kong, when were they headlining pay-per-views?
I'd be like 2008, 2009.
That's what I'm saying. Yes, yeah. That's why I said like 2006 through about 2011.
What I'm going to say to defend Impact, because I know Tunney's going to have a heart attack when I defend Impact, when they had the WWE Divas title...
Ladies and gentlemen, and now the rules to King of the Mountain!
I'm not doing that. I wanted to, but I didn't want to do that as a trivia question. But when they had the Divas title, the Knockouts division was so much better.
But I mean, like Dan said, man, and I think you said it as well, Tony, like, they don't have enough credible women for two world titles, let alone adding the tag titles in there. And it just is what it is. Well, somebody said that shit.
I said they don't have a secondary title to support the heavyweight the world title storylines. They have plenty of women to do this.
They don't, though. They don't.
They do.
Like, they have plenty of women, but how many?
That's what I mean. They got to promote it. They got to have the matches out there and the storylines to make us want to actually watch the other women wrestle, because they don't.
What brand is Liv the champion of?
SmackDown? Y'all really want to watch Zelina Vega, okay, Alexa Bliss, Barn Burner.
Yeah,
okay, cool. And Alexa Bliss is over, but come on.
No,
man.
But you put them in a tag team and you build a storyline and a feud.
Raquel Gonzalez, Rodriguez, Ramirez, Sanchez, Thompson.
This
to beat
from
both
a guy
of them
who wants
together,
to do a
man.
Trios title run with me.
No, I said Freebird rules, man. We're a tag team.
We're already a tag team, and you're not in it.
No, we can Freebird the Trios titles. Come on.
You're not even in the fucking conversation, Creamsicle.
Yeah, man. Just be quiet when the adults are talking, okay?
No. I wasn't going that far.
No. It's fine. Tunney and Dan can have their tag titles. Platt, me and you can AJ and Almost this as tag team champions of our own. It's fine.
Oh, boy. We just called you Almost. What do you think of that?
And he called himself AJ. Like, what the fuck? Styles. I don't know. I get the obvious, motherfucker.
Anybody have any comments on Worlds Collide? How'd you guys like the unification matches? I thought Mandy looked phenomenal with her picture by the pool with nothing but her two belts.
Of course you did.
You didn't?
I plead the fifth of Jack.
I don't know about you, but my peenie just went, huh?
did it do the same thing with when Shawn Mike did the same thing? Not that there's anything wrong with that.
I was too young for that, thank you.
So why were you looking at it, man? Why'd you buy the magazine then, sir?
I didn't Not buy that shit. What's wrong the with articles? Just because this is called Creamsicle does not mean I creamed.
No more thoughts on NXT Worlds Collide. That's fine.
I'm just bullshitting, but real quick, shout out to Rick O'Shea and Carmelo Hayes, which opened the show. That's literally the only match I watched. I feel like it's the only match I needed to watch.
That was
phenomenal.
Where was that match on the show?
The first match.
Who said that was going to be there?
Who gives a fuck?
Well, why are we here then if not to brag about what we predicted? Sorry, you don't have anything to brag about this week, pal. Sure.
I'm more happy of the fact Braun actually won the title. Family.
Last thoughts from the wrestling weekend under the WWE umbrella, because we're going to take a quick break and come back and talk about some tire fire that's happening over on the Turner stations. Anybody?
A lot of good matches, man. It was really, yeah. I mean, a lot of good wrestling stuff. So, yeah. I think we said AJ? If you're a fan of wrestling, this was a great weekend.
Yeah, if you want a big boy match, go watch Clash of the Castle. If you want, like, some good matches, just watch the pay-per-views in general.
Oh, good lean-in and head nod to fucking viewers. Love that. A list of viewers. What am I, AJ? The listeners love that shit. Go pee.
What the fuck are you talking about? I haven't done a dog fuck thing.
Fucking pants on too, Winnie the Pooh.
Both our viewers must be thrilled.
Episode 340 DWI Podcast. ProWrestlingTees.com/thechairshot. Check it out. When we return, we will unfortunately talk AEW. We'll be right back.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com. Bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
I think AEW is crappy.
Who said that?
I don't really have anything else. I don't really have anything else to say. Did you people expect anything less? And all I can say is the only reason we're talking about this story about AEW is because this is happening.
Now,
I'm nothing else to say. You guys do whatever you want with this segment.
Now, is it because of the interim on top of interim fucking champions? Is it because they had a fucking trios title that makes no sense of why they even had a trios title other than the fact that they wanted to promote the elite? Or is it because CM Punk has been the fucking whining child of professional wrestling since 2011?
If I may speak for Tunney here, he's going to say yes. That's going to be his answer.
Correct.
But but keep going. I mean, there's so much I want to say, but I'm not going to say it. I'll put it like this, man. I do feel sorry for Pretty Tony, even though this was a monster of his own creation. But just sitting there watching him cringe during that press conference, then the way shit went down. I don't hate CM Punk like apparently the rest of the IWC is. I've never hated CM Punk. I've never really understood why everybody hated CM Punk so bad. I'm going to just say this. Pretty Tony, if this gets back to you, man, I think you kind of fucked up on Wednesday, bro. You kind of got to steer into the skid. Do you guys know why Brock Lesnar was the biggest thing in wrestling when he came back in 2011? Because he had an air of realism. Because he went out into the UFC, became UFC heavyweight champion. So when he came back, he had that air of realism. You were literally gifted a gift by the wrestling gods in this situation. Think Edge. Hell, Edge became a main eventer off the you know, the storyline, the real life storyline between himself, Lita, and Matt Hardy, and that whole love triangle shit. You were gifted a gift by the wrestling gods. You have to steer into the skid right now.
Nobody. You guys are just going to let Matt Hardy go.
Where is he? Shut up. He missed us laughing.
I was making a larger point.
That entire fucking situation.
What you got against the Hardy boys, man? That was actually just a goof, man. I wasn't even doing that trying to be funny. That was just a goof. But y'all understood what I'm saying. Like, I was making a larger point, Tony, before you came and interrupted me. But, yo, you got the – this is when you put your big boy pants on, Pretty Tone. You got to sit these melon farmers down and say, hey, look, I'm paying you melon farmers a lot of fucking money. I'm the boss. We're going to make some money off of this. I'm paying y'all a lot of money. It's time for y'all to return the favor and for me to get a return on my investment. And you got to rock with this. The most ironic thing about this is CM Punk might be donezo, because every time he wins the belt, he gets hurt. So it might be a wrap for CM Punk, and you might not be able to get anything out of this. But you got to try, because this is the most that people have been talking about AEW since AEW became a thing.
Everyone now is turning on AEW because of CM Punk's bullshit. I'm sorry, but when the person has complained multiple times about what the fuck is going on in the company that he is in, you kind of have to cut the cancer from the fucking source. And yes, he's a cancer in my opinion. I'm saying on air.
Cody left. And Pretty Tony took all the darts for Cody leaving, but maybe that wasn't what it was. Maybe he fell out with your mans. With, Tony, Omega and Matt
Tony
Nick.
Tony doing what he did for Cody makes sense. Tony doing what he did for Cody makes sense, because if it wasn't for Cody, AEW would have never been a thing.
No, that's bullshit, man. That's Jericho. Jericho gave them credibility. That's why that shit
Jericho
got on.
Did give him credibility, but if it wasn't for Cody saying, like, hey, let's do stuff.
For Jericho, that shit would be NWA, man. We'd be watching that shit on YouTube. It'd be MLW. We'd be watching that shit on YouTube, trying to catch it when we can catch it.
I'm going to say fair on that, but Cody pushed it. Cody made sure a lot of things happened, and when he left, Tony defended him perfectly fine. CM Punk happened. CM Punk makes a random tweet last year saying, like, hey, we need to work together with our teammates and everything else, our coworkers, to make sure we make a bigger bond. And then he does this bullshit.
So you're just going to negate that perhaps the Elite are just bitches? Just whiny little bitches? We can't act like... Because, okay, the press conference, man, it was a lot of shit built up, and he took a lot of shit over the way the situation played out with Colt Cabana. But! What if he wasn't wrong and he had to sit there and eat shit for years on top of years on top of years? Plus, you got a contingency of the IWC that blames him for everybody turning on Roman Reigns, which that's bullshit as well. I'm not saying CM Punk's not a dick. Of course he's a dick. He'd probably be the first to tell you he's a dick. But what if he wasn't wrong? He handled the situation very wrong. Yes, we all can agree. Everybody handled it wrong. Yeah, you also can't have the vice presidents of a goddamn corporation running up in you and kicking in the door, waving the 4-4, and all you heard was, hey, Steel, don't bite me no more. Like, you can't have that either. Like, nobody really comes out of this smelling like a rose in this situation. What if CM Punk isn't necessarily the problem? What if there's a problem with the Elites? Because he can't be the only one in that locker room that has the same concerns. He's the only one that can really voice them because of the money he's making and the position that he holds.
I'm not saying Punk is necessarily the problem in all of this. I'm going to say this. He's not necessarily the problem in all of this. Because if we go back to New Japan, Bullet Club was... I'm going to go back in time when Kenny Omega was the leader of Bullet Club. He had no say in what happened in the Bullet Club. Absolutely nothing involving the Bullet Club was anything Kenny Omega said. It was all out of Ghetto and everything else in New Japan Pro Wrestling as a management. The Elite was Kenny Omega. So he might have a say in that. He might have gotten into Pretty Tony Khan's ear and said, like, hey, let's win the trios title because, you know, I just came back. I wanted to show that I'm healthy. I'm worth it. I can do this. And Punk did what he did. Perfectly understandable, perfectly fine. I'm not saying that I'm defending either side. I'm just saying when you have a giant fight backstage when you're supposed to be a giant work together group of people, that's going to make so many rifts, so many problems, and so many other negative annotations happen within your locker room or even within your management, where it's, I have to get rid of one or the other.
I'll put it to you like this, man. And I say this a lot. I used to say this a lot when I was life coaching as well. Resentment grows in the spaces left by things left unsaid. It was a powder keg. This was the tipping point. But these issues, Sunday was just the tipping point, man. Like, this didn't just come out the blue. And I can guarantee you really think that this was the first time that Pretty Tony had heard those opinions voiced by CM Punk right there at the podium? Of course not. Like, this is a culmination of a lot of things and a lot of frustrations on all sides, and it just kind of exploded. On the surface, it looks like a bad thing, but ultimately, this is a good thing, Pretty Tony, if you're able to grab the rails here and figure out how to make some money off this shit.
The only thing that I'm going to say out of this, out of Tony Khan's actual expense, which I'm going to defend, is no news, especially in the wrestling world, is bad news. So if you can draw more people in, be like, oh, wait, there's turmoil between this? Oh, we're going to get more Moxley, more Jericho, and we just lost our trios titles to the Death Triangle. Fuck off.
And controversy creates cash.
Exactly. Which is why...
Speaking of the Death Triangle, since...
Really?
Since Pac has...
Shit about Death Triangle, man, really?
Well, I think you might. Since Pac has two titles now, is he Tupac?
I've seen that joke, thank God that is not actually a trivia question where Pac is technically the first two-belt person of AEW.
Yes, we all saw that, Tony. Very good. You're very clever. Yes.
That was poetic. That was poetic justice.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That was good.
Jesus had absolutely nothing to do with this.
Chris. Only 50% of the audience will get that one, trust me.
And only 35% of the audience will get what I say.
I'll close out the AEW topic here and CM Punk.
Yes.
For anybody that wants to...
Don't let anybody else talk and just play a fucking commercial.
For anybody that wants to say CM Punk's not at fault, I think CM Punk's 100% at fault. And this goes all the way back to when he first started bitching in WWE about all the shit that was supposedly going down, and it's continued till now. Everybody wanted to blame WWE. Everybody wants to blame AEW. Seems to be a little bit of a pattern here. As much as I like CM Punk as a wrestler, boy, it just seems like it's just happening again, and now it's coming out live on press conferences and shit like that. I hate to say it, but this guy is too old, and he needs to be done. We don't need this shit. Like, no, we don't need to steer into his skin. He just needs to go away. Like, I think he's 100% the problem. And everybody was blaming WWE when he was there, and he was bitching about it. Everybody's now going to start blaming AEW because he's the great CM Punk. Well, not so great anymore, is he? We'll be right back.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
One, two,
I didn't finish that last one quick enough, damn it.
I'm so proud of you for drinking.
Don't worry, I'll catch up.
Granted, I'm like 3 glasses of whiskey and a beer in, but hey, look, we have phenomenal funky facts. Because we're not doing the other thing that we want.
I'll take Steve Austin Eckler.
Steve DeBurr. That's who that jersey is. That's a Steve DeBurr.
It is not a Steve DeBurr. Okay, hold on.
There it is. D lowercase e capital B lowercase erg DeBurg.
I'm not going to lie. This is the last Christmas gift that I ever got out of my guys, grandfather.
Guys, I don't think it's AJ Belez anymore. I think it's AJ DeBurg.
No, that's fair, so that's why you hold on to it. That's fair. But you still go get these jokes, bro. You still go get
these jokes. I will take every joke known to the man here. But I have trivia for the few weeks. We are not going to have trivia due to the fact that we're going to have our top 100 male wrestlers of all time in WrestleMania history.
WrestleMania era.
Era, yeah. Because it's going to have Japan. It's going to have Mexico, it's going to have America, it's going to have a bunch of different fucking people.
DeBurg.
It ain't going to have Steve DeBurg.
I'm glad you brought it up. Let me just throw this out there real quick. So what I've done is we have at least 10 personalities from the chair shot. We got top 100 lists from them. What I'm doing is if someone votes someone for first, they get 100 points. If you vote them for second, they get 99. If you vote them for 70th out of 100, they get 31 points. Do the math, okay? You get 100, you get 1 point. So that way, whoever has the most points is going to be able to have our master list, the Chair Shot 100. And that's what we're calling it, the Chair Shot 100, presented by the DWI Podcast. And for the next 10 weeks, we're going to reveal it 10 at a time, ascending up towards the top 10. So I want to thank everybody that's done their list, everybody that's about to give me their list as well. This has been a really interesting process. I think it's going to be a lot of great content. We're going to try and publish these lists. Maybe some of us will collaborate and do some writing about what our thoughts were, but it's going to be a good time. So expect a lot of really cool guests the next few weeks and a lot of great conversation about the last 40 years of professional wrestling.
Give or take. So, yeah.
So, pardon this on-air backstage meeting, but so we're not going to be discussing our individual list. We're going to be discussing the compiled chair shot.
And this is how this is going to happen is next week we're going to run down 100 through 91. We're going to start at 100 and then we're going to reveal up and up and up. And what we're going to do is with whoever's on the show, we're going to be able to tell you that, well, this person I had here, this person I didn't have on my list as opposed to where they are on the list. So the people that are making the list will get talked about in that order. And as for being on the show, we'll be able to talk about our list from week to week and where we had everybody. And that's why I'd like to try and get different people that came up with their list to come on and at least be guests in that segment as well. So I think it'll be a really fun way to get a great perspective on a lot of different fandoms, age-wise, racially as well. I think that's something to think about too. And I don't just mean whether you're black or white or Hispanic. I mean whether you enjoy American wrestling or Latino wrestling or Japanese wrestling or European wrestling. So I think it's going to be a really interesting dive into that broad spectrum that it has been professional wrestling. And I say 40 years because, 85 was Mania, but, there was a couple years coming up into Mania that kind of built towards that area starting and why things kind of developed into the way they were. So it's going to be interesting to see everybody's take on that.
So two things, and then I'm going to mute myself. I'm just going to get this out the way right now. The thoughts, opinions reflected by Christopher Platt. No. Let me say this. The thoughts, opinions reflected by the chairshot.com, its staff, its associates and its affiliates does not necessarily represent those of Christopher Platt. And number two, this list about to be some bullshit.
I don't think it's so. I think it's going to be really good, actually. I think
it's
you'll
more
like it.
Or less going to be an average of what we think each wrestler is going to be. So if 100 is your
how
number,
else
like
would you
30?
How else would you do it, Chris, to come up with a list for the chair shot?
Tony, there is no better way to do this, and this is why, you know, publications come up with these lists, because they create controversy and they create conversation. I'm just saying, I already know this list gonna be, I'm gonna think this list is some bullshit. I'm just putting it out there.
I'm glad you're excited.
Call it a preemptive strike.
We can talk.
And then we'll have an emptive strike and a post-emptive strike as well from you. I'm not worried. You're like Jerry Seinfeld at Appetites with strikes. You never fucking run out of them, do you?
I probably would have went with Gorbachev. Shout out to Gorbachev. I think he just got up out of here recently. Or who else strikes a lot? Tommy Hearns struck a lot. Sonny Liston. Mike Tyson.
AJ, the sooner you ask somebody to pick a question, the sooner.
Dan, yeah, door, I'm just gonna keep door going. One
like,
three.
I think, and Chris, I think AJ and Dan,
door one,
they have
door,
more
three.
Power than they actually do.
Door number three. Door number three.
Yeah, because, you know, Dan,
Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, because Dan's just a nice guy. He's just going to let me go off. You, the other motherfucker, to tell me to shut the fuck up, and you, and I don't think AJ realizes sometimes you just got to tell me to shut
Chris,
the fuck
I'd
up.
I'd love you to shut the fuck up right now so we can do
exactly. Get out of here. All right.
I don't think I ever said it so politely, though.
No. Not ever.
Still wasn't a please.
Sadly, because we were supposed to have someone on here, I made this question specifically for them.
Oh, he was only going to do the one segment. He was never going to.
I know. But what is the only championship Braun Strowman is missing to become a Grand Slam champion? And if people don't know, Big Boss Man Greg DeMarco was supposed to come on to do Strowman's favorites. Hopefully he can come on next week or the week before, or not before, after. Sorry, I've been drinking, but maybe he'll still do it. Who knows? Hopefully he will.
Issue with this question is, yeah, hopefully he'll come on, but there's two sets of damn near every title, so that's where shit gets a little convoluted.
Well, Vlad,
are we cutting the main
the
title?
Grand Slam the Grand Slam includes a world, two mid-card, and a tag. That's what the Grand Slam consists of.
Not including 24/7.
Okay.
Well, here's the that's the answer. You got the answer right, so what's your fucking problem?
Yeah, exactly. Everyone got the answer right. It's the U.S. title. Braun Strowman held the Intercontinental, the Universal, and the tag titles with Nicholas.
What's the first one you said?
Intercontinental. I got you, Tony. And then a month afterward, he beat Goldberg for the Universal. So, Tony, since you had to remind me, you get to pick the next door, one or two.
Mark Andrews.
Don't think that's a fucking pick here. It's one or two.
That's total BS. Door number one.
All right. Who was the latest Grand Slam champion?
Tyreek Hill. Sorry, that's my team. I'm done now.
Through the old format. The old format meaning the European title and all of that.
Who was the last
the last person to win the Grand Slam championship through the old school format.
Okay.
So not the United States championship.
Here's for Mags. Well, it came out soft. Speaking of Mags, you guys, Hulu is streaming Wrexham FC, which is the team that Rob McElhaney and Ryan Reynolds took over. It's a really interesting watch, especially if you have it on Hulu. There's 20 minutes, no commercials, so check it out. It's pretty cool what they're doing over there.
Cobra Kai is back on Netflix, too, so y'all can go check that out, season 5, I believe.
Yeah, Andrew and I need to watch the new season.
And streaming reviews now on DWI Podcast.
Not bad.
All right, so
hey, we're evolving. Ever evolving. Dude, that's a good time to do
the,
it.
The old school format.
RVD,
Platt says RVD.
Not HBK. RVD might be right, HBK. But I think it's...
Tony says Kurt Angle. Sadly, no one got a point on this because...
Well, it's the Big Show!
What? When he
no.
Beat yes.
For the Intercontinental that wrestled.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Big Show. Speaking of the Big Show, I'd like to shout out to my pal, Ham in a Cart. on Twitter, I believe that's pretty close to what his handle is, to the back and forth we had renaming wrestlers with Shu in their name. And I will find it on Twitter and tell you the list that we came up before the end of the show. It was quite epic.
Shuke Nakamura. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Shu.
Welcome to the Ed Sullivan Show. Shu. All right, let's finish trivia first.
Sorry. All right, so the last question. Who has the most WWE World Heavyweight Championship reigns, the big gold belt in WWE, who has the most reigns with that?
Who has the most reigns with the big gold belt in WWE?
Correct.
In WWE, okay.
WWE title right over there. Granted, he never won that iteration of the title. He only had the big gold. All right, that's the end of the song. And if you actually know what my first and middle name is, you get the answer correct here. Dan says Triple H. Plus... says Randy Orton, and Tunney says
it's Edge. I'm scrolling. It's Edge.
Yeah,
it is Edge.
Yeah,
Edge's real name is Adam Joseph. That's what the AJ stands for AJ Balazs. Everyone has 1 point, but I do have a tiebreaker question.
Ooh, here we go.
How many World Heavyweight Championships did Edge win?
PC Tunney just looked it
up. How many big total or big gold belt?
Big gold belt.
Okay.
Did Edge
has
win?
To be big gold. That
I don't
Edge
remember
won.
Him ever being WWE World Champion.
He beat Cena. That's the first fucking time he won the title with the spinner.
Yeah, for the big goldie,
yeah, that
man.
That was WWE, big Goldie. Not big goldie.
Yeah, but
that
you don't
was
remember,
big goldie.
You don't remember Edge with big gold and he's won it more times in WWE than anybody else?
Oh, blow me. I say 11.
No, that's how many times he's a world won. Champion.
Fine, 10.
No, I think it's...
All right, so Dan says 5. Tunney says...
I think it's 6.
See the picture.
I dropped it.
How many?
I literally said just said 10. It, motherfucker. I said 10.
Tunney, how many?
He said 6.
Tunney is the closest without going over. He is a 7-time World Heavyweight Champion with the big gold belt.
Well, this week, guys.
Yeah.
This week has been bad because Tunney fucking won.
Here we go. Hold on.
Open the haircut, hippie.
I plan on it.
Before you play that Seinfeld clip, hold on. We got Big Shu, we got Jerry Shu, we got Miz Shu, we got Shu Miz, we got Shu McIntyre, we got the whole effing Shu, we got Shu Boo, we got Shushin Thunder Liger, we got Super Dragon, we got Sashu Banks, Shu Sational Sherry, Shu Nerico, Shamoa Joe, the Shu Meanie, and Shu World Order. And Michelle McShu, hashtag Lay Shoe.
Dan,
did
please
say Big
Shoe. Fucking clip.
Is it Shoemis? What about Shoemis?
What about Shoe Day? The Shoe Day.
It's a Shoe Day. Yes.
Hold on, I'm wrong. There's more.
Baby!
There's a couple more, and then you can go to a commercial, or you could just go to the Seinfeld clip. Actually, Shoe Dudley, because there's a Shoe Med Johnson. One of my favorites from LaPel, the Shoe Stopper, and the one that made me tap out, the Red Shoester.
Red Shoe Diaries?
That's Red Rooster's Roasters. It's going to make Kenny Rogers' Roasters make him a run for his
that,
money.
Yeah, after all that, I could really go for some Hennigan's.
I got to do a commercial for this stuff. Boy, that Hennigan goes down smooth. And afterwards, you don't even smell. That's right, folks. I just had 3 shots of Hennigan's and I don't smell. Imagine, you can walk around drunk all day. That's Hennigan's. No smell, no tell, scotch. Say you got a big job interview and you're a little nervous? Well, throw back a couple of shots of Hennigan's and you'll be as loose as a goose and ready to roll in no time. And because it's odorless, why, it'll be our little secret. A-T-double-N-R.
Kramer. Yeah, that'll do.
One of the greatest... I edited those two together because in between, Kramer grabs George after he walks into the apartment and is like, hey, you! I want to tell you something. I want to tell you that you're great. He slaps him on the back. And it's just one of the greatest things that Kramer does in this series is those Hennigan things. Chris even told me, we always, some of these episodes you don't have to watch every week. I try to so I can get the talking points, but I understand you don't have to rewatch all of them. But he already knew this was the Hennigan's episode, and he was warning me that shit was going to go down if the clip I pulled this week wasn't Hennigan's, and I said, you just have to wait and find out. And Chris, I like to think I delivered for you today.
You more than delivered, but the funniest part about the whole bit is 45 seconds later, he's passed out on the couch after taking a few shots.
I had 3 shots of Hennigan's, what are
you? I was going to say, currently me at the moment with 3 shots of whiskey.
And the Hennigan's led to George banging the cleaning lady, which ultimately led to his demise, the job he just got.
Was that wrong? Is that frowned upon? I'm going to have to claim ignorance here.
No, knowing George, no, that's not frowned upon. Come on. We know better than that. If it's free, it's for him.
Hey, man, if they don't have videotape, man, your best bet is to deny. Don't tell on yourself, sir.
Your body count may be like 7 higher because of that.
Dan, would you like to explain to the listeners the continued evolution of George's thriftiness?
Well, you know, Elaine gets him a nice job at Pendant Publishing, very easily done, and of course, he has to get her something, right, to say thank you, and they're out shopping, and he comes across a nice cashmere sweater that's on sale for $85. And they're all wondering, well, why...
Marked down from 600.
Well, yeah. And so the lady, he asks why it's marked down so much, and the lady's like, oh, it's because there's a little red dot right here. And of course, George is like, where? I don't see anything. And Jerry's like, well, yeah, obviously, now that you pointed it out, I can see it. And so George was like, hey, you think she's going to notice? Nah, they're not going to notice. Jerry, you're not going to say anything, right? So of course... he buys the cashmere sweater for her as an early Christmas present to say thank you without revealing the fact that it was only $85 and there's a red dot on there. But, you know, and he's like, well, you know, money's no object. What's money? This, I think, was his line when she says thank you. He's like, what's money? And, of course, you know, Kramer being Kramer, as we know from hundreds of other episodes, the first thing he does when he sees things, he blurts it right out for everybody. Hey, what's that red dot on your shirt?
Hey, what's that red dot on there?
And both Jerry and George look at him like, what the fuck?
What was George's excuse? He's like, oh, when I went eventually down the road, right? Like he's like, oh, I was so sick that day. I was seeing red dots on everything.
Yes, I see red dots on everything.
Yeah, she got him with the old, like, Looney Tunes gag. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well, they had Jerry, yeah.
Me. Oh, okay.
She had Jerry. Oh, now I know. Yeah, did he buy it already knowing? And Jerry paused for a second, and he's like, she's like, now I know the truth. And so she caught him.
Wasn't Elaine's boyfriend also at the time an alcoholic?
Yes, good transition, because I wanted to get to that's the other part of this story, right? The beginning is George and Jerry showing up to Elaine's Christmas party at her work. That's how George gets the job Elaine's put in charge of hiring somebody. She wants George to come in. You got to remember, George and Elaine now have newfound friendship because they can hang out alone together, right? So everything's all good. She's very comfortable with George, which is a big thing with women. They're not comfortable around you. They don't want you the fuck around. Period. End of story. Take that for what it's fucking worth. Here's the deal, though. No, Jerry gives the watch.
You just said some real ass shit, Tony, and you need to say it again for the fellas in the back. Like, well, seriously, that's real ass shit.
I'm over 40 now. I don't fucking rewind for fucking jabronis. So listen up when I fucking talk. Or don't, because most of the time it's bullshit.
You didn't know? Well, Tony better tell somebody!
Jerry is put in charge of Elaine's drink while she goes to introduce George to her boss. Her drink. Wasn't she dating Dick as well?
And it's hilarious. His name is Dick, by the way. Like, that can't be on accident.
Having a fling.
They're having a fling. Okay, so it's funny because, like, she's like, watch my drink. And Jerry's like, okay. But Jerry has no idea he's an alcoholic at the time. So this guy...
I thought she told him before he asked her to Elaine asked him to watch his drink. Yeah,
you're right. You're right. But I'll put it to you this way: in Jerry's defense, if I'm an alcoholic, I'm making sure I'm grabbing my own drink and not grabbing something like that. And he could tell there was vodka in there, fucking A. So let's just continue on with the suspension of disbelief as opposed to my real world views. Jerry puts the glass down when he shouldn't have. The alcoholic picks up the drink. He starts drinking. He ends up going crazy, but. That's an interesting part because they play on the whole Cape Fear thing at the end of the episode where he's dragging a Christmas tree down the fucking hallway. Come on. That's funny as fuck. And even the off-the-wagon alcoholic can see there's a red dot on the sweater. But they bring it all back around, much like a Disney movie. Seinfeld is not about the sadness. By the end of the episode... Not only has Dick heckled Jerry, but he's come full circle. He's back on the wagon drinking coffee and smiling like a sober motherfucker at the end of the show.
I still think it's hilarious, though, that dude's name was Dick because he was a Dick to Jerry pre-vodka.
Yeah.
Like when they were just sitting there chopping it up. Oh, I bet I'm funnier than you. So, you know, I mean, that's one of the things that most stands out to me.
Jerry and I'm Jerry. Right,
nah, I'm Jerry.
And then, of course, he shows up drunk as a skunk and heckles him at his show, which furthers the reason why this guy's name is Dick.
It was funny. It's funny. They should have called him Richard when he was sober and Dick when he was.
And then Dick when he got drunk. That would have been good.
Yeah. Anybody else? Anything?
Yo, shout out to George for banging the cleaning lady, man. That's cool. Right. And she's Colombian. She was probably all talking that Hispaniola to his ass mid-coitus. Like, that's always hot. And so a couple of Henneken shots, you know.
She comes over and I say hello. And then she starts vacuuming and her hips are swiveling.
Her breasts are.
What does Jerry say?
Convulsing?
It's like, no. He's like, oh, I'm just trying to help paint a picture here.
Yeah, I'm just trying to help you out. Next thing I know, she's mopping the floor with me.
He goes, the sex wasn't bad, but then I threw up.
That's
the
Hennigans.
And Jerry goes, well, good thing the cleaning lady was there.
The cleaning lady was there. Pop.
I mean, it's one of, so good. I mean, I have gone out and ranked every episode of Seinfeld like Joey Bag of Donuts did. Shout out to Joey. We love Joey. We'll have to get him back on. He will be on, actually. Joey submitted a list. So Joey will be on one of these 10 weeks. So thank you for that. Pittsburgh Zone, good luck this weekend.
You just made the list!
I'm not going that far.
But would you guys say this is in the top 10 percentile of your... It would be in my top 10 percentile of Seinfeld episodes. Maybe you think it's a little lower or higher. I don't know. That would mean I think there's 200-plus episodes. That means like top 25-ish.
I think this would definitely be in my top 15 or 20. Yeah, easily.
Yeah, there's so many pieces of this episode that go on that are fantastic. You know, each piece, like... You said, you know, the Hennigan's part is just this little bit. It's just that side bit that's just almost, you know, trumps the rest of the stuff, and the rest of the stuff is still funny too. It's crazy. It's one of those episodes where just every part of it has got just a funny bit.
So there was 180 episodes. Would you say it's in the top 18?
18? See, this is when it gets hairy.
That's when you're like, yeah, I want to know what the other 24 are, right?
Top 15 to 25, definitely. I hesitate. Maybe top 18. I hesitate to put it in the top 10 because I feel like the series got funnier the more they established the characters, if that makes sense.
There is something to be said here on an argument, Seinfeld-wise, of were the best episodes like 7, 8, 9, or were the best episodes like the end of 3 through 5.5? Because there's some weird shit that goes on at the end of 5, and 6 is not one of my favorite seasons, I'll tell you that right now. That's just me.
Yeah, no. Oh, that's a good question, man. I don't really have an answer for it. I do like a lot of the later seasons, but I love the later seasons. Like, I love 7 through 9 because, like I said, the characters were fully established.
At the same time, my favorite episode of all time, to which we did an homage to on this show in the weirdest fucking way possible that nobody probably could wrap their head around to listen to, was to the backwards episode. So we even did a backwards DWI, which. These guys are probably like, yeah, just tell us what to do. This is fucking weird.
That might be my favorite episode, too. Quiet as kept.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying that was by far the greatest episode that I ever did because I actually knew about that Seinfeld episode. So, all right.
Good discussion today on Seinfeld. I really like that. Let's talk about what's coming up here, the subway. I had a hard time remembering this one, but this is where Kramer gets the race tip, and they all go their own separate ways from the subway. So this one is something I'm going to have to watch, even if I wasn't running it, because I don't remember a lot of the stuff. But we upcoming the rest of the season, let me let you just run it down, and we can close the show out here. The Pez dispenser is up after that. That is phenomenal, yes. The suicide... The fix up. We're going to hit the boyfriend. That's the Keith Hernandez episodes. There's two of them. We're going to do that in 1 week. Okay. So that week, we're going to do two episodes in one. After that, we got the limo. Hilarious. The Good Samaritan. The leather. The letter. The parking space is one of my fucking favorite ever.
Yeah. You know,
you're a real phony. That's a fucking great one. And then the keys. The keys, which send us, which is so awesome because the keys doesn't finish itself till the beginning of the next season is where Kramer goes to California. That is a fucking amazing end of season 3. That's why I say the rest of season 3 through most of 5 for me is a really nice sweet spot that we're in right now. So like strap your fucking Seinfeld helmets on. We're going to war.
The parking space that's not the one where Jerry and Elaine are at the bakery.
That's the one. No, that's way later. This is the one where Jerry orders the Mike Tyson fight and George and Jerry's
Kramer's buddy,
they pull in. George is going to back in. This guy's going to fucking pull
in
parallel park. And then Kramer or George tell Jerry that Kramer's buddy called him a real phony.
Yeah, I haven't
like
seen
that
in a while.
The whole episode is like the half an hour leading up to the Mike Tyson fight. Like this is like almost a real time episode. Like as close as it could be for a early 90s sitcom.
Yeah, I look forward to that. I haven't seen that one in a while. I know what you're talking about, though.
Awesome sauce. All right, guys. Any NFL thoughts? Because I did the inaugural chair shot NFL by myself this week, hoping that I can get my audio fixed by next week's because I got some really cool sound to go with a lot of stuff when everybody's going to be doing it with me. So I fully expect Christopher Platt and Ray Cash to be. Chris will be with me all the time. Ray will be in when he can. I know AJ wants to contribute. Dan will want to be there when he can. So hopefully we're going to be able to be getting introspective looks into each pocket of the nationwide fandom that is football through the people that are on our network. We have people in California, Arizona, all over the East Coast, people from the Midwest, down south, up north, pick a corner of America and American football, and we have someone that's either a fan or grew up or currently lives there. So we got you fucking covered, all right? So make sure you're checking that out. You can literally follow that. It's easy. It's probably one of our easiest tags ever on Twitter, at ChairShotNFL. Who would have thought that I could just go out there and grab that one? That was beautiful. I really, it was a great day for me. I'm going to start with AJ, and then I'm going to throw it over to Chris, and then Dan. Your thoughts on week one? Try and keep it to about a minute and a half.
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at PhenomenalAJB, AJB in all caps. And hey, football is upon us, everybody. The Bills decimating the Rams 31-10. The Rams not looking up to form, but hey, they're still a scary threat. The Bills are the early Super Bowl favorites, so I'm always up for that. But as we alluded to before, I'm wearing the creamsicle. I'm wearing the Buccaneers orange and white going on with the red and pewter. I feel like we're going to make a strong run into the playoffs because we still have Tom Brady. But hey, we're going to be great. We're going to be good along with, I'm not going to lie, every person probably in the chair shot for the NFL. So you go follow that, chairshotnfl.com. You can follow all of us on podcast EWI along with everything the chair shot on the chairshot.com, articles, reviews, and the podcasts as well. Go listen, go follow, go read. It's always something great.
I wish I would have had the idea for us to do a knockout pool because those are always fun. Y'all can find still me on Twitter. Yeah, you're we still could. Maybe we need to do that, man. Throw that out there to the chair shot brethren, man. We can do our own little knockout pool.
I said you could still do it.
I'm not going to do it.
I guess we're not doing it. Yeah. And you know what, folks? Continue to listen to the DWI podcast throughout the season of the NFL while Chris bitches at me because I didn't do a fucking knockout pool.
You heard the man. Hey, y'all can find me on Twitter at TheRealCPlatt. Make sure y'all go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Pick up an official Chair Shot t-shirt. Please and thank you. Thank you and please. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, go hard on Carolina this year. They're an underdog, but I have Carolina making the playoffs. So fuck Joe Biden. If you want to pay off your student loans, go hard with the Carolina Panthers this season, ladies and gentlemen.
Fuck the Panthers! From the resident Buccaneers fan.
I heard Christian McCaffrey already tore an ACL, so he's out for the season, I think. He was reading the newspaper this morning in the clubhouse. Well, yeah, for us in the Midwest, being a Packer fan, obviously the biggest question for us is going to be our wide receiving core and what's going to happen now that Devontae Adams is gone, and is Lazard going to step up? How is our rookies looking with Dubs and Watson? Are they going to contribute anything? So I'm really interested to see how the wide receiving core works out this year. Hopeful, obviously. I think our defense has gotten better. So we'll see how that goes. But I'm just happy to be able to wake up on a Sunday and get ready for football again. So I'm super happy that football is back. It's best time of the year for sports, in my opinion, because football is coming, then basketball is coming up right after it. So I'm just excited for the NFL, and you can follow me and yell at me if you want all over the worldwide social media interwebs that it's me, DPP.
There you have it. If you want to hear what I have to say about the NFL, go back and listen to At Chair Shot NFL. I'm closing out the show, and I look up, and I'm like 50 minutes in, and I'm like, all right, wow, I guess I had a lot to say. So go ahead and check it out. I did fail you. Thursday night, I thought the Rams were going to win that game. I thought they were going to win a close game at home. They were catching points, and the defending Super Bowl champions are 14-2. Well, now they're 14-3 on them opening night games. So I went with that. You know, you see something, go with it till it goes the other way. They just laid an egg in the second half.
I'm
but
not going to lie, Tony. You want to have a little trivia?
I'm almost done.
Bye.
But I did give you the under. Go ahead.
I was going to say, fun fact, this is the first time that Sean McVay had a losing record. This is the first time he lost an opening round. So
Yes, he was.
Nothing
five
from up miles. From the Rams,
was,
right?
Was 5-0. Was 5-0. All right. Here's to the Buccaneers losing. Here's to the Browns losing.
Fuck you.
Here's to the Packers. Oh, just
cause. Why are you saying fuck you? The Bengals are playing the Steelers. Why are you saying fuck you?
I'm from Cleveland, bitch.
Okay, so why are you rooting for the Bengals?
He said the Browns. What the fuck are you talking about?
Play the music, Dan. At podcast DWI.
I didn't drink
DWI
enough.
Number 340. Don't drink and drive. Drink a podcast.
You drank too much.
Anymore. Do not drink and drive. Drink a podcast, folks. ProWrestlingTeaser.com/chairshot. I thought you were playing the music. You got to play it. Yeah, I got to talk over it.
Fair enough.
You know, I got to talk. I don't have nothing to say anymore. Use your head.
Hey, shut up. Take off your Martine Romatica jersey.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.